Afternoon, is it on there?
This afternoon, if you would open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 34. Deuteronomy, chapter number 34, and you might want to put a little marker there, because before we get to this, there's a couple of things we're going to look at, but let's just go ahead first. Deuteronomy chapter 34, the Bible says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for having such a good day in church today, for you meeting with us, for you blessing your people, and God, for giving us your precious word, and more, for giving us your precious self. Now God, we ask you, Lord, that now you would be honored and pleased, Lord, as we have the word of God preached again yet this afternoon. And again, Father, you'd speak to us and cause us to draw nigh unto you, that we might do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you read this, and if you recall, Moses, when he was with the children of Israel in the wilderness, they wanted water. And God told Moses, he said, you go over that rock over there, and you smite it, and it'll bring out water. But after that, whenever you want water, you just speak to it. You don't have to smite it again. Just speak to it. And one day Moses got angry with the people because they were griping and complaining about what they didn't have, which is what we do. We so seldom look at what all God has done for us, what all God has given us, and instead of rejoicing in that, we like to look at what we don't have. And then we get all, I don't have that. And we start all getting all mushy-faced and gripe-gutty and all that kind of stuff and pouty lip and all that kind of stuff. Instead of being thankful, we get angry. And that's what happened. Moses was tired. He knew what, think about it. Moses knew what God had done for him. He knew what God was planning on doing for him. And he was trying to tell them and trying to help them. And all they did was complain and want more and more and more. And finally, Moses, like anybody in the world, got angry. Paul said, Who of you is angry and I burn not? Who's offended and I burn not? Moses got angry. And he said, must I bring water out of this rock? And he hit it again. And the water came out. Now the reason the water came out is because that's where the water comes from, the rock that was smitten. But it's only smitten once. The Bible tells us that that rock which followed them, that gave them water, that rock was Christ. And so that smiting of that rock the first time is a picture of Christ being smitten for our sin. And thereafter, he need not be smitten again. He was sufficient. All we have to do is go and speak to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't need him offered for me again and again. But Moses marred that picture. And because he marred that picture, God said, that's a bad thing you did, Moses. And because you did that, you can't enter the promised land. You'll see it with your eyes only, but shall not go in there. And that's what we see here. And a lot of people look at that and they say, man, what a horrible thing. How
how agonizing that must have been for Moses. And as you read it, you can just picture the beauty that he saw from the top of that mountain over by the palm trees. And those right up against Jericho where they were going to first come in. And he saw and beheld all of that. And you can just imagine how, oh, it must have been breathtaking. And you know, we think after the terms of our own self and our own selfishness and on, we think, and then he died and didn't get to go in there. And, oh, that just doesn't seem fair. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. In verse number 5, it said, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. See, he was the servant of the Lord. Look, put a place there, and let's look at a couple of verses. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then we'll sort of, after we look at some of these things, and we'll sort of put together something here to consider in all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says this, and Paul's speaking. He says in verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, that's Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be on all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. You know, Paul said, you know, when you and I, when we think about what Jesus has done, when we think about what God's purpose is, what His plan is, what He wants to do, and then we sit around and ignore those things, when we don't consider Him, he said, your rejoicing's not good. When you and I do not alter our life because of what Christ has done, and then want to say, oh, well, praise the Lord. He said, your rejoicing's not good. Paul says, I protest that. He says, I die daily. He said, every day, I think about what Jesus did for me and I die. I die. Now, he didn't mean his body died. He meant that his own self-will, his own self-judgment, his own self-motivation died. And was replaced by what God wanted for him. In Romans chapter 14. Paul's writing again. He says this. For none of us, in verse 7, liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Understand, nothing about our life is for us. It's for the Lord. Notice in Romans chapter 6. You're in the book of Romans, go to chapter number 6. Paul says this. He says in verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Is that true for you? He said, if that's the case, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. There's going to be some spiritual life to us. Notice, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Understand, he said, I die. The old man is crucified. I'm crucified to the lusts, the desires of my flesh. Notice in Galatians chapter number 2. He says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm crucified to the lusts of my flesh, but I'm also crucified to myself. I'm dying to my own personal thoughts of what is good, what is right, what is just, what I should strive for. And that's hard to do, especially in this world. You know, people, they want to be accepted by everybody. They want, you know, they don't want to be odd or strange. I don't mind being odd or strange if I'm being odd or strange for the right reasons. I don't care if people think it's weird that I don't do this. Peter said they think it's odd that you don't run to the same riot with them. Because you're not out there partying, and you're not out there drinking, and you're not out there half-dressing. He said, I crucified to myself. And then notice, look in Galatians chapter 5. He says this. In Galatians chapter 5.
Here it is. He says this.
But the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, if you belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Notice also Galatians chapter 6. Go over there, Galatians chapter 6, and look what he says. Verse 13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So we're not just crucified to our flesh and to ourselves, but to the world. We need to die to ourselves. And the Bible tells us here, go back in Deuteronomy now, and understand, the Bible says here that Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. You see, Moses died long before this day came. That's why this was so easy. That's why this was something that Moses had no problem with. Notice the Bible says there that Moses went up. God did not send an angel down to drag him kicking and screaming up the sides of the mountain. There was not an army from the army of the children of Israel, a bunch of people with spears and swords and all, prodding him and making him go up and die. No, Moses voluntarily, deliberately, walked up that mountain knowing that he was going to die. Knowing it. Well, let's look at some things that happen when you die to yourself. When you become like Moses, a servant of the Lord, and you die. One of the things is that you're going to know the Lord's purpose. You're going to know the Lord's purpose. You know, we do a lot of things for our own hidden motives and our own hidden agendas. But when we serve God, when we die to ourselves, we're going to do things because we're going to know the purpose that God has, the Lord's purpose. Notice what it said there. Verses 1 through 4, he goes up there and he takes him up to the top of the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, and over against Jericho. And that's the first place where they're going to come in. They're going to surround that place. The walls are just going to fall down flat. And he says, and it says that he goes up there and he sees all of that. And then after he sees it all, the Lord said to him in verse 4, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thee. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Okay? Understand, because he was willing to die to himself, he was allowed to see God's purpose. He is up there, he saw all the land. He saw what they were going to be given because he was willing to die to himself. You know, you and I, we will not know the purpose of God in our life. We will not understand the will that God has for our life until we die to ourselves. Because you can't see the whole picture. You can't see the picture as long as you're trying to control it. As long as you're trying to do it all yourself, you just can't see it. But when we die to ourselves, that's when God takes us to a place where we can see what He's trying to do. What He's trying to do. But we have to die to ourselves first. We have to die to all those desires and all those things in order to be able to see it. You know, Moses couldn't go in, but he understood that. He knew why he couldn't go in. I think about David, King David. He wanted to build what for God? He wanted to build a temple, didn't he? And God sent a prophet to him. Nathan said, God said, you can't build the temple, David. You're a bloody man. And David, he started throwing a fit and throwing gold and said, well, if I can't have it my way, I'm not going to give nothing to the house of God. Is that what David did? No, that's not what he did. He said, your son's going to build it. And David didn't say, oh, I'm just so jealous. Watch my son get to do it. No, he didn't do that. David blessed the Lord. He worshiped God. He wasn't going to get to build the temple. He'd laid all this gold aside and everything aside to build it. But God said, you can't build it, but I'll let your son build it. And he understood God's purpose. And he rejoiced in it. Oftentimes, you know, we feel like we're being cheated or like we're missing out on something until we die to ourselves and understand God's purpose. Man, I want to trade the opportunity to preach the gospel for anything. Not for all the degrees and all the colleges and all the world. As I understand God's purpose. And I'm glad to be a part of that. See, when you die to yourself, that's when you see God's purpose. When you just die to yourself. Say, God, whatever you want is okay with me. That's what David did when he fell under judgment. He said, well, what do you want? God said, what do you want? Do you want to, you want a more disease? You want to fall in the hand of your enemies? Or do you want to, or you want to fall in the hand of God? And David said, men are merciless and cruel. Enough people have died for disease. He says, I want to fall in the hand of God. Because He'll give me just what I need. Even when He's got me in the woodshed. He said, God, you do what seems good to you. Even if it seems bad to me. See, when you die to yourself, you understand God's purpose. Secondly, because Moses, the servant of the Lord, died, he knew the Lord's pleasure. He knew the Lord's pleasure. Look what he said there. In verse number 7, it says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. Think about that, 120 years old. And his eye was not dim. A lot of people out there wearing glasses today. The eye's getting a little dim. He ain't even near 120. Moses was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim. And notice this, nor his natural force abated. Natural force abated. I was talking to somebody, I said, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps and I was a sergeant and I was the one who led the platoon and the physical stuff for the day, the physical training for the day, I got up every day, every morning, and I'd do 200 push-ups straight out. I said, I can't do 200 push-ups now. You know what that means? That means if Moses could do 200 push-ups when he was 40, he could do 200 push-ups when he was 120. Natural force had not abated. Why? Because he died to himself. He knew God's pleasure or God's favor. Because, you know, God understands. You know, it's what Jesus was trying to tell him. He said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If you just die to yourself and serve him, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You will know the pleasure, the favor of God when you die to yourself and become his servant. You know the pleasure. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that was like? 120 years old. Never any weaker, still had eyes like an eagle. That's the favor of God. Children of Israel walked through the wilderness for 40 years, and the Bible says that their shoes and their clothes did not wax old. Horrible, but why do I have to go to the wilderness? Because mom and dad didn't want to listen to God. But even in the midst of that, he still took care of them. They knew the favor of God. When you die to yourself, because you're the servant of the Lord, you will not only know God's purpose, you'll know God's pleasure. God's pleasure, his favor. Because it's just like, you know, the verse that Christina quoted earlier, you know, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And I just don't know anything better. I don't know anything better than when God draws near to me. And I just don't know anything better. I begin to weep. I begin to cry. I begin to laugh. I begin to shout. I'm experiencing the pleasure of God when we die to ourselves. The reason it's hard for people to get close to God is because they don't want to die to themselves. They don't want to say, okay, God, whatever you want, anything, you name it, I'll do it. I'll clean toilets. I'll squash bugs. Whatever you want. I'm yours. That's when you'll know God's purpose and God's pleasure. Not only that, he knew God's provision. It said in verse 8 and 8, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of the weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. But he said in verse number 9, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him as did as the Lord commanded Moses. See, he knew God's provision because he knew that God would use him, and that whatever else was necessary, God would provide that as well. You know, I told Brother Tom and Brother Jimmy, I think I told both of them this. When I was first pastor here, I began praying for God to give us a jail ministry out of this church. Because I wanted us to reach those guys in jail, to see them saved, see their families saved, see them added to the church. I wanted to see God do something in the lives of these people who are in the jails. And I said, God, I need two men. And got to talking and sharing the burden with Brother Tom, and he said, man, when I retire, he said, I'd really like to do that. And when Brother Pugh came and his wife, I didn't have any idea about his background at all, but I was just sharing with him one day about, you know, how Brother Tom was going to be getting started in this jail ministry and everything. And Brother Jimmy said, I used to be in a jail ministry down in Tennessee. I'd really like being on that. Folks, that's answered my prayer. I have two men here in this church who understand why they're in the jail, what they're doing, and they love doing it. God's provided that. God's providing the Lydia Fellowship. Every time, folks, if we will just be the servants of God, if we'll die to ourselves, God will provide what we need to do the work He wants us to do. He will provide it for us. We've got the Prisoner Bible Institute. We've got two cases of Bibles coming. We get the things we need to do the work of God. When we die to ourselves, we'll see the provision of God. Yeah. As individuals and as a church. Not only that, look on in verse number 11 through 12. It says, in verse number 10. It says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Because he died to himself, he was a servant of the Lord. He knew the Lord's person. He knew him personally, face to face. He knew that personal relationship, that depth of intimacy with God. And folks, that only comes to dying to ourselves. That's when you will begin to understand, like the psalmist said, "How great also are thy thoughts unto me, O Lord. They're more than the sand of the sea." Why did he understand that? Because he had gotten close to God. And he had died to himself. And when he did, he realized, you know, for all that I could want and do for myself, God wants more. And he understood. You know, the Bible says that fear, he that fears is not yet made perfect in love. Fear hath torment. Okay? But love casts out fear. That's what stops people a lot of times. Their fear of man, their fear of what might happen. But when you die to yourself and you become a servant of God, you understand just how much God really loves you. And that there's nothing He's going to ask you to do that you're not going to be able to do. There's nothing, no matter how hard it is, how awful it is, that you're not going to be able to face. And in the end, you're going to rejoice over it because God loves you. That's why Paul was telling the Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he lists all those horrible possibilities. And he says, but it doesn't matter. Somebody beats you up and drops you in a cave like they did Joseph. You're still not separated from the love of God. They sold him into slavery. Said, ha, we got rid of that pest. And what did Joseph do? Oh no, what am I going to do? God forgot me. Is that what Joseph did? No. Joseph, God blessed him. Because I believe Joseph had a relationship with God. A personal relationship with him. That told him, God loves me no matter what's going on here. Like that's why he found favor with the jailer, even after he was wrongfully in prison. I believe that's why he brought out and was made the man next to Pharaoh. Because he had a personal relationship with God. He died to himself and he knew God's person. I mean, personally. Isn't that what you want? To be able to know that you know God? That's what God said. Don't glory in anything else except this, that you know me. That's what you glory in. And when we die to ourselves, we'll know God's person. And then notice this. Verses 11 and 12. So you know we're coming to the end because those are the last two verses in the chapter. So let that tryptophan out of the bit. Get out of the way. We're going to finish up here. Verse number 11. "In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh." Now I want you to think about this. This is meant for us to look back. This is meant for us to call to mind all that God did. Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land and in all the mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. I think about when they told Moses, "We want to hear God. We want to meet God." And Moses said, "Okay, y'all sanctify yourself. Tomorrow we're going to meet God. Woohoo! We're going to meet God." All right, they were all washing up and scrubbing up. "Oh, we're going to meet God." All right. And they all came out there and they're all standing there and Moses is there and they're getting ready and all of a sudden they hear and the ground starts shaking and it starts sounding like thunder and horse hooves and And all of a sudden, there's like this blaring of trumpets. I mean, they're out in the wilderness, and there's this loud blaring of trumpets, and everything's shaking, and the top of the mountain starts to smoke, and they're like, ah! All of a sudden, they didn't want to meet God. It scared them so bad, they said, Moses, Moses, listen, you talk to God. Whatever he tells you, you tell us, we'll do it, okay? We don't want to go there anymore. Oh, the terror. The terror. Remember when he went up for the Ten Commandments and he came back down and Joshua said, man, sounds like there's a battle going on down there. And Moses said, no. He said, no, that's not the sound of those that are striving for masteries, crying out battle. So that's the sound of sin. Went down there. Who was on the Lord's side? And they took their swords out that day and killed a bunch of them. Cousins and nephews and nieces and aunts and uncles and terror. Hey, you go read the Old Testament. Look at all the things that they were shown by the hand of Moses. You know, they said the whole time, the Bible says the whole time that Moses was up here and God was meeting with him and that fire was on top of that mountain and burning it up, that they were just quaking and shaking, scared out of their lives. What did they see? Because he died to himself, because he was a servant of the Lord, Moses saw the Lord's power. He saw the Lord's power. I just cannot get over it when I think about the Red Sea. I just can't get over it. That's all he did. Held that staff out over the water. That's all he did. He didn't make any incantations. He didn't conjure nothing. They didn't get out a bucket brigade and start bailing out the Red Sea. He just stood there and said, stand still and see the salvation of God. And he just looked. He just looked for what God was going to do. Because he knew the power of God. Are you looking for what God's going to do? I know he's going to do it. I've got a staff. I've got his word on it. And I can just stand and wait and see what God is going to do. But you're only going to see that when you die to yourself. When you're God's servant. I love it. Good day. There you go, guys. We're going that way. Get on the other side. Oh, look, here they come. Watch this. Watch what God's going to do. See him no more forever. And he meant it. He meant it. Buried them. They're enemies. All the mighty hand. And the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. He knew the power of God. He knew the Lord's power. Why? All because he died to himself. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab. Are you ready to die to yourself? Where you are right now. Are you ready? Do you want to see God's purpose? You want to see His pleasure, His provision? You want to see His person, knowing personally? You want to see His power? You need to die to yourself. Paul said, I die daily. He was addicted to walk with God. He got up the next day. It was so good the day before. He didn't want anything else. I die daily. How about you? Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads for just a few minutes.